From Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome in the Saviour's name to our gospel broadcast. I'm glad you're joining us today, and here to Let the Bible Speak is the Reverend John Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Curran, and it is my pleasure and joy to be back with you once more to bring God's precious word. I want to return your attention today to Hebrews 11. We left off our study there for a few weeks during the holiday season, but we return to it now on this particular broadcast. Hebrews 11, and may I read with you from verses 15 and 16. It says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." One of the striking traits of character which is immediately seen in the person called Christian in John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress, is his determination that he will not go back to the city of destruction. No sooner had he started out, of course, than he was immediately pressurized by another character named Obstinate to return to the old lifestyle, but he would not go back. He was then joined by another person called Pliable, who seemed to be truly set on going to the celestial city. But when Christian and Pliable reached the Slough of Despond and fell in and began to sink in the mire, Pliable extracted himself and quickly hastened back to the place from which he had come, and Christian saw him no more. Bunyan is absolutely accurate in his representation of these pressures that Christian experienced. For there is always the constant manipulation of the Lord's people, the constant pressure brought upon them to go back to the world, a fact to which allusion is made here in verse 15, where Paul refers to the patriarchs and their refusal to return to their old country. The relevance of Paul's introducing the examples of the patriarchs' perseverance is apparent, for it is his constant goal throughout this epistle to counteract the danger of apostasy among these Hebrew Christians to whom he writes. His readers were under intense pressure to go back to the system from whence they came out, that old dead system of Judaism with its defunct ritualism and all of its worldly lifestyle. Divine grace had called these Hebrew Christians out of all that, and therefore Paul reminds them that they must not go back, even though the pressure is on them to return. Now, the pressure experienced by the Hebrew believers of the first century, and of course of the patriarchs of long, long ago, is but a foreshadowing of the constant pressure felt by God's people in every generation to go back to the world. The Christian is one who has been called out of the world to follow Jesus Christ. But the judgment of God has not yet fallen on the world. It still stands, and the Lord's people are yet in it, and therefore are still under pressure to return to the old ways. It is the reality of this unceasing temptation to apostatize which is faced by the church, which enables us to understand the thrust of the verses before us here today. In these verses, Paul uses the example of the patriarchs in a twofold way. In my previous study from Hebrews 11 a few weeks ago, we saw that their living in separation, that is, the patriarchs living in separation from the Canaanites, is an example of the believer's renunciation of the world. And now, in the verses before us today, the apostle points to their refusal to return to Ur of the Chaldees as portraying the believer's continued renunciation of the world's allurement and his perseverance toward heaven. So there is brought before us in our text the important truth that the Christian life is one continual repudiation of the world from which the Lord has called us. From the very moment we are saved, and from then onwards, we are to renounce this world. It should be noted here very carefully that the same people who refuse to return to the old country are those who, in verse 13, are said to have died in faith. And surely it is being said, or it's been taught here by the apostle, that renouncing the world is an undeniable evidence of genuine saving faith. The importance of that fact could not be underlined too strongly in our times, when the notion prevails that renouncing the world by constant separation from it and its ways is non-essential, or even worse, it is labelled as being legalistic, as having nothing to do with Christianity. Now, the folly and the danger of such notions and such teaching are plainly exposed by our text here, Hebrews 11, 15 and 16, which is plainly teaching renunciation of the world by the example of the patriarchs. May I bring that to your attention today, and I trust that the Lord will burn into your heart, if you are a believer, that you need to walk a separated life from the world of the ungodly. Notice here a fervent desire. It says in verse 16, "But now they desire a better country." The word for desire expresses the idea of a fervent longing, a strong fervent longing. The word literally means to stretch forward. Furthermore, it is very evident that it is the presence of this desire in the heart of the believer that results in the renunciation of the world and the refusal to go back to it. This desire leads to the decision to refuse the allurements of the world, its attempts to draw the believer back into its clutches. A strong desire, a desire for a better country. And in the heart of the Christian, the one who is truly saved, there's a desire for heaven. And God uses that desire in the believer's heart to enable him or her to press forward, to go on, and to renounce this world. I want you to notice here, that this desire for the better country is, of course, the result of the work of grace in the heart of the believer. And furthermore, that desire that the believer has indicates that the longing for heaven, the desire, therefore, to get away from the world and the things of the world, is not to be regarded as some kind of coercion that God places upon people. There is this view of the whole experience of salvation that is entirely wrong, and I mean that view of things that presents the idea of the Christian, of someone who is brought screaming and kicking to the Lord as if he doesn't want the Lord and is forced against his own will to seek the Lord and begin to walk in the Christian life. That is not the view of the believer in the Bible. That is not the view of the Christian life at all. Rather, what the Word of God teaches us is that by God's marvellous grace, he works in the heart of a sinner and he renews that person's will, so that that individual voluntarily, as a result of the renewing grace of God, desires to follow Christ and forsake the world. In John 6:44, we are taught that God draws men to Christ, and he draws them, other scripture shows us, with the cords of love, with the cords of grace and mercy. In other words, when the Lord works in a sinner's heart to renew him, to regenerate him, he causes that person to voluntarily seek after Christ. He causes that individual to be glad to find the Lord. The will is not repressed, as I said earlier, so that the person is brought resisting and struggling to Jesus Christ. No, the will is renewed so that the person voluntarily seeks the Lord. And that renewal of the will, of course, is the work of the Holy Ghost. It's something that's experienced in conversion. We have a great example of it in Ruth chapter 1. verses 15 and 17, where Ruth says to Naomi, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to turn away from following after thee." And she says to her mother-in-law, "Where thou goest, I will go, and thy God shall be my God, and thy people shall be my people." Ruth voluntarily, willingly, wanted to go the new way of life and the way of salvation, because God's grace had brought her into that glorious experience of having a willing mind and a ready heart and a true desire in her soul to renounce the old and pursue the new. Therefore, I urge you today to consider your heart. Do you really love the Lord, and do you have in your heart a willing, ready mind to follow Him and do His will and walk with God in the paths of righteousness? Or do you just have enough religion, as it were, that makes you miserable, and you're not happy at all in your profession of Christianity, and you're continually hankering after the world, and you wish that you'd never even taken this step of making a profession of faith, because you find in your soul that you really love the world, and you love its ways, and secretly, or maybe not even secretly, you're going back to it, and you're pandering to it, and dabbling once more in the things of the world? I ask you today to search your heart, because these people in Hebrews 11, these genuine believers, desired a better country. They wanted nothing to do with the old, they renounced it, and they had a desire for that country that God had prepared for them. This desire, therefore, was voluntary, and is also a desire that is victorious. Because you see, when that desire is in the heart, it creates victory over the allurement of the world. Look at verse 15 again. It says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." This word expresses the idea also of setting a person's desire upon a certain object. When the believer starts to let the mind dwell in the world, the allurements come. But when we read verses 14 and 15 together, we are shown that the call of the world, the old life, it's real, it's strong, and yet, through the grace of God and by the power of the gospel, the believer is enabled to desire the better country, the heavenly country, and live above the world and sin and its ways, and walk with God. One of the most wicked ages in which men have ever lived was the age prior to the flood, in the days of Noah. Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, and Noah walked with God. May you find grace today, and may you begin to walk with God and serve Him throughout the rest of your days.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. Don't forget that we're on air here each weekday morning, Monday to Friday. So, do remember to join us at this same time as we let the Bible speak.